This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBite. It's me, Rich Bradbury, with
Arvind Braj.
We are talking about how 42% of employees believe that a gender pay gap exists in Malaysia, but only 30% feel the wage gap is present in their workplace. We are discussing the phenomenon of the gender pay gap in Malaysia, how a pandemic affects that gap, and how to overcome it. We have polls running on Twitter and on Instagram. We'll get to the numbers in a minute, just after the Bursa update, courtesy of Arvind.
Yeah, so it is down by 0.31% at 1,559 points. Active stocks include Iris Corp Berhad, Exo X Berhad, and Sapura Energy Berhad. The ringgit is at 4.18 against the US dollar. It is at 3.0 against the Aussie dollar and 3.05 against the Sing dollar.
Okay, so those numbers, let's just have a quick look at the numbers. So according to the blurb that we've got, 42% of employers believe that a gender pay gap exists, with 30% of those people believing that that pay gap is present in their workplace. Now, if we look at our Twitter numbers, that's not the same representation as what the numbers we are told.
Yeah, so it is at 19.9, okay, 20% for yes, 40.3% for no, and 39.8% for I'm not sure.
Now, over on Instagram, the poll has flipped. So 47% of you say yes, there is a pay gap in your workplace, with 53% saying no. Interesting numbers.
Yeah. So we have a message from Ramli Sirup, who says that I'd be shocked and ashamed to find out I'm being paid more than the opposite sex at my workplace by virtue of being male. In fact, why should it ever be a factor, especially when it's been scientifically proven that men can't multitask? Hold on while I change this tab to the other tab and then start reading my notes.
Yeah, you have to be really quiet whilst I do things here as well, because I have to concentrate on one thing and it's very difficult to concentrate on doing more than one thing at a time. Arvind, can you please say something so I can do something else?
Let me process what you just said.
Okay.
And then I'll reply.
Go on then.
Okay.
Right. But yeah, let's discuss this. Let us know what you think. More messages, please. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram at BFM Radio. Come to think of it, do we have anything new over on WhatsApp?
We have one from Benji, which we will get to in a bit.
All right. So story number two then, Arv.
Yeah, so story number two, this is quite an interesting article that I picked up from The Star, and it's about how there is this misconception that people have that going virtual or going green or going digital means going green, because we don't have the need for physical hardware anymore and we don't manufacture as much. But that actually isn't the case, because even stuff like deep learning and creating algorithms and artificial intelligence puts a lot of strain on the environment because of the servers they use and because of the power it needs to actually teach these machines things. So training a deep learning machine causes as much pollution as the emissions of 5 automobiles over their lifetime. Researchers are now working on new methods with a view to reduce the carbon footprint of these machines. In June, OpenAI unveiled the world's largest text generator so it can write creative fiction and translate legal jargon into plain English, finally. Two functions that have been achieved using deep learning. However, the creation of this new tool generated an enormous amount of pollution. So a recent study has shown that the training of a deep learning machine, which can take several hours or even days, can produce up to 283,000 kilograms of greenhouse gas. That is the equivalent of the emissions created in the entire lifetime of 5 automobiles, just to teach it how to do this single thing. Drawing inspiration from the human brain, researchers at MIT have announced that the development of a technique to unpack a scene in a few glances, as humans do by selecting the most relevant data, cutting back on the quality, the quantity of data they require to reduce the energy used by deep learning machines and make them less polluting. Researchers are aiming to train a small part of networks which can take charge of recognition tasks more rapidly using far fewer parameters and thus less power. And scientists are also working on developing more energy efficient hardware. So attempting to reproduce the frugality of the brain, a robot with an AI model uses 500,000 times more energy than a human to think and solve problems. And we thought that we were overthinkers. Mm. So projects are underway to replace binary on-off transistors in computers with analog devices that mimic how synapses in the brain become stronger and weaker during learning and forgetting. So they're trying to use the way we think to teach computers how to think. So it's not like they need to store everything at once and keep all that information at their quote-unquote fingertips. They can sort of think the way we do, where they pull out information when they need it, and then when they don't need it, it goes into the recesses of its own sort of neural network. Mm. And that way, it's not putting so much strain on the servers, it's not putting so much strain on the computing hardware, which also equals less impact on the environment.
There's a docuseries on Netflix now. I think I mentioned it to you earlier, Connected. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen that. And this comes up in the discussion in one of the episodes, and they talk about how much energy a single Google search actually uses. Did you know how much it uses?
No.
It uses about this. One Google search consumes mm-hmm. the same amount of energy as turning on a 60-watt light bulb for about 17 seconds.
Oh, wow.
One Google search. And think about how many Google searches you do per day, on average, all of us, you know, and then times that by the amount of people that are using Google. It's an enormous amount of energy. And then when you have stuff like AI that's plugged into the background and is mm-hmm. constantly, you know, processing and doing other stuff, it's a huge amount of energy, really.
Yeah. I mean, because we underestimate the speed at which it works. We're so used to just Googling stuff, random things, and going like, okay, we just want answers. Mm. But think about what kind of resources it has to pull to be that quick to give you those answers. And it's not like physical resources, but it has to connect to like multiple different places to get you those answers in the time that it takes, which is like split seconds, like even before you can count.
It's a worrying amount of energy it consumes. Mm. And it really made me really rethink about a lot of stuff watching that episode as well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think we covered an article about Spotify and other streaming services last year. We spoke about how people think that going to streaming services means less pollution because you're not manufacturing the physical media anymore. But those streaming services still need to be on servers somewhere. And those servers, those giant server farms, need a lot of power to run to give you your songs when you want it, like at your fingertips. Mm. So it's a lot to think about.
It is. We're going to have to take a short break, ladies and gents. We are, of course, asking you that question as to whether or not there is a gender pay gap in your workplace. Do let us know what you think about this. 018-789-8899 is the number to get us via WhatsApp. You can also get us via Twitter or Instagram. We're available at BFM Radio. Me and Arv are going to take a short break. We're going to have some music to take us into that break. It's the Rolling Stones with I Can't Get No Satisfaction here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.